series where we're looking at the book of Proverbs, finding out God's wisdom from heaven for living here on earth. But today we're taking a break from that series as we're going to focus on baptism this morning. As you know, as I mentioned, we've got four folks getting baptized tonight. And we're very excited, I'm very excited for what's going to happen to them tonight as they go through the waters of baptism. I'm excited for them. I'm excited for the folks who are actually going to be in that baptistry and are going to be baptized. I'm very excited. But also, as I was thinking about it for the rest of us here, as well as going along to encourage and support and bless them, actually what we see tonight is a reminder of your baptism, is a reminder of the day that you were baptized. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to stir your faith. This morning, what I want to do is encourage you to remember, encourage you to believe, encourage you to stir up the amazing thing that God has done in you when you were baptized. So tonight is not just a benefit, I believe, for the people getting baptized, a benefit for you and me. Your baptism may have been a long time ago, but I believe it remains very significant. Luther, the great church reformer, he said this: we should begin every day remembering that we are baptized. When we feel the water on our faces in the morning, as we wash, it should remind us of the waters of baptism. So he thought our baptism was something significant, something important, something to be remembered. Not something that was an event that happened 25 years ago and let's just forget about it, but actually something to keep fresh. The significance of it, he's saying, speaks today, is significant today. Interesting thing about baptism, of course, there's only two things, outward things, as it were, that Jesus asked us to do. One is to get baptized, and the other is to take the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine. Just two things. Because, of course, most of the vast amount of our Christian faith, it's in essence, it's a personal thing. It's an internal thing and it's an experiential thing. We believe in our hearts. We love God with all our mind and our strength and our heart. We're changed from the inside out. And as my heart changes, my behavior changes. People don't know we're Christians by the hat we wear. They don't know we're Christians by the clothes we wear or by some symbol we've got. They know we're Christians because of what's happened on the inside, working its way out into my behavior and attitudes, how I live and what I say. So there's only these two things, and I believe they're significant things. Of course, baptism is the way into the Christian faith. And taking the bread and the wine, celebrating the Lord's Supper, is this ongoing celebration where we remember what Jesus has done for us. You only get baptized once. Although I know for some of us, we've been baptized a number of times, because maybe you're baptized as a baby or as a child, or when you got baptized, you didn't really appreciate the significance of it. But anyway, it marks the start into the Christian life. So this morning, we're going to think about, talk about water baptism. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for wonderful celebration we're looking forward to tonight. And I want to ask, Lord, for the four getting baptized, would you prepare their hearts, Lord, that they would experience so much in those waters as they get baptized. And I pray for each of us, Lord, as we see them get baptized, would it remind us, would it refresh us, would it freshly enliven our experience when we were baptized. God, I pray today for revelation. Would you teach us, speak to us, help us, that we could appreciate the amazing power of baptism, Lord. Amen. Amen. See, the Bible describes baptism as a public declaration of my allegiance to Jesus. It's the way I declare to the world whose side I'm on. It's my nailing my colours to the mast. First, I believe in my heart. I'm saved and changed. Then I advertise that decision through my baptism. Mark puts it like this in Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. You believe in your heart and you demonstrate that belief with this outward act of baptism. I was thinking about the account in Acts 16 of when the Apostle Paul went to Philippi. Acts 16:12. We just read there from the book of Acts. It says, this was Paul traveling with Luke and others. It says, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. So in her heart, there was a respect for God. In her heart, there was a love for God. But she didn't know how to get near to God. She didn't know how to be saved. She didn't know how to have a relationship with God. There was a fear of God, a respect of God, something in her heart for God, but there was something missing. Look what it says. Then the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Paul explained. And then verse 15, she and members of her household were baptized and she invited us into her home. Something happened in her heart, and that was a personal internal thing. And then the outward following thing was she was baptized. An inward thing and an outward thing. There's a story of a little boy who asked Rick Warren. Rick Warren's is a famous church leader in America, a very big church in America. And this little boy came up to him and said to Rick Warren, he meant to say to the pastor, when can I get baptized? But instead, he came up to the pastor and said, when can I get advertised? Sweet, very sweet. But actually made a right point. Because really, baptism is advertising the fact that here I am, I have chosen to follow Jesus. It's advertising. It's saying to the world, anyone that wants to come, and tonight anyone walking past Chalk Farm wants to come in, they're welcome. The doors will be open. Anyone can come in and see the fact that those getting baptized are advertising to the world, I am a follower of Jesus. When Philip, if you remember the evangelist Philip, was explaining to the Ethiopian official about Jesus, the official wanted to respond. He wanted to confirm what was happening in his heart with the outward act of baptism. In Acts 8:35, we read here, Philip, he began with the passage, this was Isaiah 53 that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. And Philip began with that passage of scripture and he told him the good news about Jesus. And there they were in this chariot, they were traveling along. And as they traveled along, they came to some water. So as they're traveling along, they just saw this pool of water. I don't know what just a pool by the side of the road. And the eunuch, the Ethiopian official, this eunuch said, what can stand in the way of my getting baptized? I want to get in that water. Something had happened in his heart. So he was desperate. Get down the chariot. Get in that water. He wanted to advertise to anyone that was passing by. Something has happened in my heart. I've said yes to Jesus. And this is my advertising of that. I became a Christian when I was at college. Now, I'd gone to college as someone who was a churchgoer, a nominal Christian, as it were. So when I went to college, I kind of slotted in with the Christians because I just thought that was the thing to do. And over a period of a few weeks, I suddenly realized, hang on, these people know Jesus in a way like I don't. They know Jesus in a real way. They talk as though this is a friend and there's someone that they share their lives with and that they follow. And I'm just a Sunday 1 hour Christian. And so I got down in my room on beside my bed and I asked Jesus, would you come in my life? And would you come and change me? And wonderfully God met me. And then I felt a stirring in my heart to want to get baptized. But then the problem was, I then would have to come clean to these Christians who I've been with, saying, actually, I wasn't a Christian. I was pretending to be a Christian. And so there was a bit of pride in my heart. And just kind of holding me back. And I struggled, to be honest, I struggled. Because it was my image of how I looked. But in the end, I thought, I've just got to go through with this. And so by God's grace, I did get baptized. I told them I was honest. And I stood up. It was a public affair. It was a large show. It was 500 people. So I had to stand in front of 500 people and be honest that I wasn't a Christian. Even though I looked like I wasn't, but I had become a Christian. Praise God. So I believed in my heart and then I was baptized. Can I remind you today of your baptism? Whether there were 10 people there, whether there were 10,000 people there, It was a public declaration that you had turned from everything else to become a follower of Jesus. A few weeks ago, with a wonderful opportunity, we were beside the River Jordan. And in the River Jordan, there's a place where people get baptized, who want to get baptized in the River Jordan, just as Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And it's a kind of a place that's been made so that you can go and do that. I personally got baptized somewhere far less famous than the River Jordan. And chances are you were baptized somewhere far less famous too. But think about this Ethiopian official. He just got baptized in a pool beside the road. I mean, we don't even know what it was. This muddy little pool that was beside the... We hope it was deep enough, but he got baptized there. And I want to remind you, it doesn't matter where. The important thing is it's something that happened. It's a point in time when you're baptized. See, if a person becomes a Christian, sometimes it can evoke hostility in family and friends. But when someone wants to get baptized, that's often when real war breaks out. Because it's this public declaration, this public renouncing of the old, of burning the bridges, of saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. There's something very significant in that. And I believe it's very spiritually very significant. It's got spiritual power. Our enemy, the devil, does not want us to get baptized. On the way to getting baptized, years and years ago, I remember I was driving along, and as I was driving along, I suddenly came over feeling sick. In fact, so sick, I had to stop the car because I was driving. Stop the car, pull to one side, and just stop. I thought, this is really strange. I was fine a few minutes ago, and I can't drive. What am I going to do? How am I going to get to a baptism? And it just suddenly clicked. Hang on a minute. There is someone who doesn't want me to get baptized. So I just pressed on. I was absolutely fine. We were able to go and get baptized, because baptism in water isn't just, of course, a dip in the water. It's spiritually important. And today, this morning, I want to look at why is baptism spiritually important. We're going to remind ourselves of a few things. See, firstly, baptism in water, there's this washing. Now, when Ananias came to Saul and prayed with him, as he gave his life to God, as he humbled himself before Christ. This is what he said in Acts 22, verse 16. This is Ananias to Saul. Saul had that dramatic encounter on the Damascus Road, and then he'd been not eating or drinking for 3 days. And then Ananias says to Saul, get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. See, Saul's sin were many. Saul was someone who had gone around trying to destroy God's church. He called himself the chief of sinners. And it's in this verse here, we can see that Ananias is saying, get baptized and wash away the past. As you go into that water, there's a washing. Obviously, it's the inner washing of the blood of Jesus that actually has the power to wash away our sins. The outward washing of the waters of baptism symbolizes, personally appropriates the power of that inner cleansing of God's forgiveness. I don't know if you're a George Clooney fan, you may remember a movie a few years ago. He was one of the stars in it. It was called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And this movie, it was three escaped convicts. He was one of the escaped convicts. And they're on the run. And there's a scene in the movie where these three characters are escaping. And they come across a preacher at a river. And two of them get baptized. And when they've got baptized, they immediately think that because they've been baptized, they've gone through this ceremony, they think their sin is gone. They think they're innocent. They think the law can't touch them now in their kind of ignorance. But for them, there was no repentance. There was no change of heart. When they got baptized, they only got wet. As they went through those waters of baptism, they didn't appropriate anything but a bath. See, baptism is no remedy for sin. Of course, New Testament focuses on our inner experience, on our inner experience and the supernatural power of the blood of Jesus to wash us and cleanse us and restore us. And baptism is the outer symbol of this inner work of God in our hearts. The baptism we're going to see tonight remind us, as we see them go splash into the water, they remind us that we're washed and that we're cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Your sins were washed away. And every sin since that day is included in that wonderful cleansing power of Jesus. Apostle John reminds us in 1 John 1 verse 9, there's this continuing thing. 1 John 1 verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, if we own up to God, God, I've done these things wrong. He says, he is faithful. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This amazing, powerful work of the blood of Jesus, cleansing and washing, not on the outside, but on the inside. Amazing. We were washed outwardly in the waters of baptism, but more significantly, we were washed on the inside, and we continue to be washed as we confess before God. So baptism reminds us of the power of being cleansed from sin. And so baptism is an important symbol, but I want to suggest this morning that in fact baptism is more than a symbol. I want to show you this morning that I believe it's a symbol plus a whole lot of spiritual good things that come into our life through baptism. So, secondly, we're looking at the facets of what happens in baptism. Secondly, second thing that happens after the washing is there's a joining to the death of Jesus. Jesus died in my place. As I went into the waters of baptism, I appropriated that death. I took its benefits. As I was plunged into the water, I was plunged into the death of someone who died in my place. Look what Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 12. It says, having been buried with him in baptism. That to some extent, Paul's saying here that baptism is like a burial. Something happens as you go down into that water. Someone is buried. There is a burial happening. As you're lowered into the water, your old sinful nature died as he died. Paul explains this in Romans 6, 4. We were therefore buried with him. We were buried with Christ through baptism into death. Goes on a couple of verses later, Romans 6, 8, to say, we died with Christ. Somehow, incredibly, supernaturally, 2,000 years ago when Jesus died, our baptism links us with that death. As we're plunged into those waters, incredibly, amazingly, we are linked with what happened 2,000 years ago. And I appropriate the benefits. He died for me in my place. As I go down into those waters, as that splash comes up, I'm placed, I'm put into his death. I'm linked amazingly with what happened. When I got baptized, the church that I got baptized in, that had a baptistry that was shaped like a coffin, and so there was a stage area, and then there was this large coffin-shaped baptistry, and you think that sounds really morbid, really kind of macabre, but actually it's proclaiming the power of what baptism is about. That actually, as you go down, we're going down into the death. That he died in my place, he died in your place. And so when you are lowered into that water, there's a joining, there's a supernatural, spiritual joining with the benefits of what it means that your old sinful nature was put to death with Christ. He died in your place. Look how he explains it in Romans 6, verse 3. Don't you know, Paul's saying to the Romans, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So as we're put in that water, I'm put into the death of Christ. And so my baptism reminds me, as I remember back, whether it was a week ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, that when I went into that water, I was put into the death of Christ. And Paul explains the benefits in Galatians 2:20. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ. Obviously, Jesus died. You didn't die on that cross. He died on that cross. But in an incredible, gracious, supernatural way, that you were joined with his death and that old sin nature was crucified with Christ. And look what he says. He says, I no longer live. Obviously, Paul was alive and kicking to be able to write this. Obviously, he was alive. But what he means, of course, is his old, sinful, perverted sin nature. Something happened in those waters of baptism. It says, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the selfish, sin-obsessed old nature put to death because Jesus died. Thirdly, when you were baptized, the other significant spiritual thing that happened is you were baptized into Jesus Christ. Luke, writing in the book of Acts, he describes how Paul found some disciples, and they were near the place, near Ephesus, and they had been baptized. They'd been baptized by John. And he came across them and explained to them the full story of Jesus and his death and resurrection. And he said to them, you need to get baptized again. Acts 19, verse 5, when he explained about salvation and the full story of Christ, it says, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. See, there's only one who can save us. John's baptism prepared the way, but John's baptism wasn't going to save them. It wasn't enough. There was only one baptism that would count, and that's this baptism into Jesus, as he says. Paul explains this to Christians in Galatia, in Galatians 3:27. He says, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And so as he was explaining to them, as they were baptized into Christ, into that water, it was like being clothed. Jesus was put around them, spiritually speaking. So much of our understanding of what it means to be a Christian is summed up in these two words that the Apostle Paul uses again and again. He talks about us being in Christ. In Christ, in Christ. Again and again, we find this phrase when Paul's trying to explain who we are now. Now we're saved, now we belong to Jesus. He uses this phrase that we are now in Christ. And here, in baptism, he's explaining how, as we are baptized, we're clothed, we're placed in Christ as we hit those waters, as we go down. There was a moment in your baptism when you were completely submerged. And for those getting baptized tonight, we're making sure you're all down there. We're not going to have an odd kind of leg sticking out or arm sticking out. The whole lot is going under. The whole lot is being totally pushed under. No bit hanging out. Because we want you totally to be in Christ. To be clothed, as Paul says, with Christ. Absolutely immersed. This word baptism, of course, it means, it's not a Christian word, it's a bigger word that was used, that was just taken and used. It actually means to drown. We won't be drowning tonight. Sink, plunge, and soak in water. In other words, they were plunged into Christ. They were sunk into Christ, completely clothed in Christ. That's what happened to you when you were baptized. Because primarily, it's a spiritual miracle of what God does in our hearts. But baptism is more than just a sign. As we've been looking and seeing today, it's actually an experience. Remember your baptism where you were placed in Christ, with Christ in God. Look what it says in Colossians 3, verse 3. He says this, Paul says, you died and your life, where is your life now? It's hidden with Christ in God. You see, these verses we're looking at again and again and again, it's not just in one place, but Paul is very keen we grasp and understand what has happened to us when we hit those waters and when we went down. Fact is that you can point to a time, you can point to a date, you can point to a place when you were baptized. So that when things are tough, when things are challenging, when things are tricky, you can remember. You think, I remember. I was placed into Christ. I was baptized into Christ. There's great security for us in a changing world with so much uncertainty of where I belong. We belong where we are in Christ. Lastly, when you were baptized, hopefully you came up out of the water. after a few moments below, hopefully those baptizing you pulled you up. And this is the crucial climax, of course, of what baptism, the punchline, as it were. We go down into his death, but we don't stay there. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, let's look at this verse again. It says, having been buried with him through baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. There was faith. Those getting baptized had expectation, because faith is confidence. Faith is an expectation that something's happening. Faith is an expectation that God, you're doing something spiritual. It's not just an outward thing, but there's something going to happen. If you're getting baptized tonight, that's your faith and expectation. Something's going to happen. And so when you think back to your baptism, your faith is in this, what Paul explains here. I was in the water and then I was raised up. Something happened. Something powerful, powerful happened. Just a few weeks ago, wonderful privilege of being in the Garden Tomb. And in Jerusalem, there's this tomb that it could have been, the can't say with any certainty because it's such a long time ago, it could have been the tomb that Jesus was placed in, or it certainly is one like the tomb he was placed in from that time. And there's a like a groove in the front where the stone is rolled in front of the tomb. So you go into the tomb and look back, just off on the sort of the entrance of the tomb, there's a scripture that's written. It's Matthew 28, 16. It says, he is not here, he's risen. It's an empty tomb. And that's our faith in baptism, is in what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. You don't go and pay homage at a tomb of a dead person, because that tomb is empty. And that's the punchline for us. That's the punchline of our baptism, is it's the fact that Jesus was raised. Jesus was raised to everlasting life. And that as we're in that water, imagine, think back if you can, imagine the moment you were in the water and the waters had gone over your head. And then the person baptizing got hold of you and pulled you out. You were raised. That was a symbol. Yes, it's water, it's a symbol, but it symbolizes something spiritual and real and internal that God did in your heart. And that's something today to celebrate. It's something today to remember. It's something to thank God for. It's something to allow in our hearts to say, God, thank you so much. You raised me with Christ. Amazing. This word baptize, it also was used to describe when a ladle, you know, that scoop, the scoop ladle thing, was placed into wine. And as it was placed into wine to draw out some wine, the ladle was placed into the wine, so the ladle was baptized in the wine, but then the wine, of course, overflows the top of the ladle and then fills the ladle. So the baptism is being plunged, but also being filled. And so as the person with the ladle pulls it out, that ladle was baptized because it was plunged in, filled and drawn out. That's a fantastic picture of what happened to you. That you were placed into Christ and then drawn out. Look what Paul says in Romans 6 verse 4. He says this, we were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see, he's linking baptism and the death of Christ with what happened at the resurrection. And so there's something about coming out of the water as you're pulled up. We're linked there with this glorious new life flooding our hearts. It's a symbolic thing. It's an outward thing. It shadows the inner reality. And yet, there's more. There's an aspect of baptism where there's power. Something happens in those water. That's the mystery. There's so much in our Christian faith is a mystery where we try our best to grasp these spiritual things. And yes, it's an outward thing. Yes, it's a symbol. But there's some spiritual reality happening behind. behind the scenes. God, would you open our eyes that we could grasp? Would you open our eyes that we could internalize and understand these spiritual things? Just finally, I want to mention talk about the punchline of today, which is living in the experience of my baptism. It happened many years ago. How this day can I live in the benefit of what happened all those years ago? Apostle Peter explains in 1 Peter 3. He says this, 1 Peter 3. He says, you know, even this is, and Peter's using an analogy of Noah and the ark then. You know, even though God waited patiently all the days that Noah built his ship, even though a few were saved then, 8 to be exact, saved from the water. Skip to verse 21. It says, the waters of baptism do that for you. We're saved. There's something efficacious. There's something powerful. There's something about baptism which is real and powerful. Not by washing away dirt from your skin, but by presenting you through Jesus' resurrection before God with a clear conscience. Amen. You see that... with our baptism, we can stand before God today knowing that my past is forgiven, knowing that today I can have a clean conscience through the powerful blood of Jesus. I can stand boldly before him by his mercy, by his grace. And I know my future is certain because of the fact that I'm clothed in Christ. Do you see what there is here in our baptism? There's so much. It kind of summates, it brings together so much of our Christian faith into kind of one simple, powerful going in, staying under and coming up again. Which is why it's such a powerful visual aid. But the punchline I'm saying today is I believe it's more. Pray for those that are getting baptized today that they will experience more. Paul goes on, though, to talk about living in the power of my baptism. I just wanted to finish with a scripture today that I found to be powerfully, powerfully helpful in this. It's Colossians 3, verses there, starting at verse 3. He's talking about our experience of being died with Christ, of our baptisms. He says here, "For you died... and where's your life? It's now hidden with Christ in God." And verse 5 says, is the kind of the working out of that. He says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry." As a result of being baptized, as a result of being placed into the death of Jesus, being placed clothed with Christ and raised with his new life, he's saying, therefore, because of that reality, because that happened to you, something for you to do on a daily basis is not tolerate the sin in your life. It's actually to put to death. There's something for me to do today. It's when I find sinful attitudes rising in my heart. It's to get rid of it. It's to put it to one side. It's to ask for God's forgiveness. And it's to not tolerate these things. Not that I'm trying in my own effort or putting my own strength in, but in God's power, by his grace, in his mercy, I've got a job to do in my own heart. Over the last few months, I've felt God speak to me through this verse. For me not just to think, well, there's a sinful attitude in my heart. Well, you know, there it is. But actually to be actively against it. By God's mercy, with his help, Holy Spirit, will you help me? But not to be passive towards sin in my life. But actually to say, God, I want to put this to death. I don't want this in my life. I don't want these attitudes, these thoughts, these things there that shouldn't be there. God, thank you I'm baptized. Thank you I'm placed in Christ. Thank you that you raised me with Christ, your new life. And God, today with your power, with this resurrection power, I'm going to put this to death. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm going to push it out through prayer and through seeking God and through asking for his strength and through taking practical steps. Often it can be, if there's a sin in my life, often I need to take some practical steps. I need to turn off some TV. I need to not log on to that site. I need to not go and see that person. I need to not go near whatever it is. There's practical steps that I can do to put to death. It's something I can do with God's grace, with his help. And I feel that the resounding power of our baptism is God wants me to live more like Jesus. And our prayer for us today is, God, would you help us? God, would you empower us that I can live in the benefit of my baptism, that I can walk more closely with you. And God, that I could put to death these things that rear up in my life that I know don't please you. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for each of us when we were baptized. Lord, today we are so grateful for your mercy in saving us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you, in your incredible kindness, reached down into my life. And you showed me that I was just a churchgoer and that I didn't really know you, didn't know your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for each one of us, Lord. We've come to an understanding, God, that we need you. And Lord, today we are so grateful. Father, would you open our hearts and minds to grasp what you did in our hearts as we were baptized? Thank you for this outward thing that you told us to do. Lord, could we live in the benefit of that? Could we today freshly appropriate the power of that, Lord? Just want to challenge you quietly as your eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but just between you and God, as I've been talking today, have you come to the realization, actually, perhaps I'm a churchgoer and I really personally don't know these things? Then I want to ask, would you open your heart to God? Ask him to give you an understanding of Jesus and all that he has done for you. And for those of us here who we've given our lives to God and we've been baptized, and maybe there's some areas of things where we just seem to be defeated and dominated by some attitudes, some thoughts, some habits, some things that don't seem good. God is a merciful, merciful God. His forgiveness is incredibly generous and gracious. Can I ask, just open your heart fresh to Jesus. Say, Jesus, would you open my eyes to see what you have done, what you've done for me and in me. Just as we're quiet this morning, I just feel that God wants to encourage us. Many of us realize what God has done for us, but some of us struggle. What have you done in me? Would you just, in the quietness of your heart, say, Jesus, would you show me? Show me what you have done in me that I could live more for you today.